Let us begin this service by singing number 212, the second tune, the stanzas 1 and 3. Number 212. I thought upon the days of old, the years departed long. I held communion with my heart, by night recalled my song. My heart inquired with anxious care, will God forever spurn? Shall we no more his favor see? Will mercy e'er return? Number 212, the first and the last stanza. We will read to you from God's holy word, Psalm 102. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me. In the day when I call, answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as a herb. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I walk and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread, and mingled my drink with weeping. Because of thy indignation and thy wrath, for thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. But thou, O Lord, shall endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones, and favor the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute, and not despise the prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come. And the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord, for he has looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. When the people are gathered together in the kingdoms to serve the Lord, he weakened my strength in the way, he shortened my days. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, of them shall wax out old like a garment, and a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and the seed shall be established before thee. Thus far. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Grace be unto you, and peace from him, which is, and which was, and which is to come. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. Unchangeable and eternal God, it is for the last evening in this year that swiftly passed away, as on equal wings we are together in the house. It was not so easy to come to this place on account of the weather, but still, it is a wonder that there is not so many that is gathered with us in this evening. There shall be surely several that could not come, that otherwise gathered with us, but so many are sick and old and feeble, that there was no way open for them to come up in this last evening. Remember them all in their homes and in the hospitals, and where that they are included us together. That is last evening of this year, and this last hour that it is was, in the fear of thy holy name, that it was in thy divine favor, Because as there is coming an end to this year, so the end of our life is also coming. For each and every one, young and old, great and small, on our right and left, thousands and ten thousands has fallen. Also, so many boys in that awful war that is still going on in the world. And with accidents on the road and in so many other places and circumstances, Lord, that we realize thy mercy, that we are not consumed, where also other ones that have started with us is here, but they were fallen and taken away. Lord, remember all those families, especially those who have lost their dear ones in the prime and in the power of their life, and for whom these days, days of sorrow and grief, where they are looking to those empty places, oh Lord, fill it with thyself. And that we were brought in the first time of by renewal to the knowledge of him who is living and reigning forever and forever, whose years never come to an end. Jesus Christ is yesterday, today, and forever the same. From our sight is nothing as shortcomings. Tis nothing else than sin and iniquity. But, O Lord, bring us in this evening to that fountain of that precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that all our sins are taken away, that we have not to go with a burden into a new year, if we shall live in it. But, oh, remember us in thy beloved Son, and that thy word and testimony in this last hour be blessed and be sanctified for young and old, for great and small, that Christ be glorified in our heart and in our midst, and that it may please thee to build thy church also in the coming and rising generations, and that our children may ask for the Lord and his strength, that they may bow in deep humility before thee, are bound at thy throne, bound to thy word and testimony, and to thy house, and to the truth that is delivered unto us, and not taken away from us so far, that let it not testify against us in the day of days, but, Lord, sanctify it to our hearts, and that the miracles and wonders of free and sovereign grace may be glorified in our heart and in our midst, before that it shall be too late and then forever. Lord, graciously pour thy Spirit out in our heart and in our midst, and gladden us together in this house of worship. Remember all thy servants where they shall preach thy word. Uphold them with the right hand of thy righteousness, and give also us in this evening few edifying words to speak in the midst of the congregation. Never in this year we were absent on account of weakness and sickness of body, but we were strengthened to perform all those labors laying upon our shoulders, that we acknowledge thy name, because 'tis not for our sake, but it is only by the strength of the Almighty God and by his sovereign grace that we have that privilege. O Lord, forgive all our sins and iniquities. Remember all the sick. Remember the widows, orphans, and widows. Remember the boys in the service, and especially especially in Vietnam. Humble us together on the day mighty end. And be with us in this evening in the opening of thy word. And unlock our heart, and that it find an entrance into our soul. And that our gathering in this evening, that it became unforgettable for young and old, for all of us, and that for Christ's sake only. Amen. We sing now number 136. Your offering will now be taken for our school. Number 136. Dust to dust, the mortal died. Both the foolish and the wise, none forever can remain. Each must leave his hoarded gain. Number 136. beloved congregation, our gathering in this evening, the last hour of the year 1968, bears a special character. We were privileged to start this year with one another. But of course, there are some who were taken away by the hand of death out of our midst. There are empty places. It starts in February that one of our oldest members, Mrs. Van Wingen, passed away so sudden that one of her daughters found her dead already in the house. And after suffering of several weeks in the hospital, Mrs. the Brave was also taken away out of this world. Mr. Andrew Walmer, sudden and unexpectedly for his family and for us. Mrs. Vandenbogert, we had expected so many times, months and months, but when she had passed the 90, then the time was there that she had to leave this world. And 5 days later on, Mrs. Wotil, and then August 3, Mr. Ape Verwijs, also dying in the hospital after weeks of sickness. August 28, Mrs. Robert Westreet, in the power and prime of her life, she was taken away out of this world. An empty place for the husband and for the dear children. A place that becomes more and more empty for them. In November, out of the Van Zweden's family, was taken away one of the brothers. He was no member here, but still, he attended always for years the services. And in the meantime, a baby was born dead by Mr. and Mrs. Jan Vandentoren. And December 4, Mrs. Leben. December 20, Mr. Gabriels. And the last one that we have buried last Tuesday, that was Mrs. Gertrude Fassa. They all have for years a place in our church. But those places are empty. There were 25 children baptized this year. There were years that it was 45, one year 65, but now the number of 25. And this evening, there are many things that goes on in our mind and in our heart, what all have taken place in that year that is soon past for all of us. The Lord has spared us without children so far in the land of living, and we are still in the day of grace, and it is really a wonder also with the weather this evening that we have an opportunity to come here. It was hard and for some very difficult, but it is appreciated that where so many other churches are closed this evening, and closed also and cancelled the services on account of the weather, that we have not such a great attendance. Of course, the restaurants are ook open tot 4 o'clock, most of them, this night, and they shall ook be filled. And then they can go, because the church in general, they come always in the last place. But if we realize, congregation, what a serious evening it is, and if we realize the manifold blessings that the Lord had bestowed upon us in the year that almost lay behind us, oh, it behooves all of us to acknowledge the name of the Lord, because it are only the mercies of the Lord that we are not consumed, and that He is still bearing with us, that He is still behind us, and that He show unto us also in this last evening of 1968 that the Lord had no pleasure in the death of a sinner, but dwell in our repentance and in our life. I reminded this afternoon the Holland part of the congregation how many that there were in the hospitals this year. Then we have a big list, but most of them return back to their homes. Thus, abundantly reasons to acknowledge the Lord also in this way. And it may please the Lord, young and old, to give us in this evening His impressions of the mercies of the Lord bestows upon us and our children. But at the other end, we need something for our soul this evening. After some hours, then we have to write 1969. No more 68. Because that year that is gone, and that comes no more back than only in that great day of judgment. And if we now think about our life personal and in our families, then we have well to say this evening, Lord, enter not into judgment with us, because no one can stand before the Lord. And what would now be the most important thing for you and me this evening, the most important thing that we are realizing the necessity that Christ and his blood may be applied and glorified in our hearts. And that in this evening the Lord gave us that privilege that we not have to enter into another year with all that sin and with all those iniquities that we have done in this year 60-68, but that the Lord cast it away in a sea of forgetfulness. And of course, we have well to talk about the shortness of life and the brevity of life, the frailty of men, but I have also in this evening to place Christ before you, the last service of this year, and that we are privileged by grace and by faith to fly unto him, and that we find in him for our poor soul eternal life. I will go with you this evening to a man for whom it became also New Year's Eve. A man that came to the end of his life. And we will listen to what that man declared and burst out before the Lord in that text that you will find in Genesis 49, verse 18, these words, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord, thus far. We have here in our text a powerful expectoration. A powerful expectoration on a New Year's Eve from the deathbed of Jacob. And in the first place, I have this evening only 2 points. In the first place, we have here a confession of guilt, and in the second place, a confession of faith. The question shall well come up this evening in the heart of many after reading this text to you. How can you find now in this text a confession of guilt? How? But of course, congregation, that is not so hard to explain that to you. Jacob was laying on his deathbed, and of course, when he was laying there, then it was not Jacob that was speaking, but it was Israel who had gathered his sons round about his bed. And he was there in the last moments of his life, laying and speaking there as a prophet of the Lord, declaring to his sons what they have to experience, and not only what they have to experience for himself, but what they have to experience also for the generations to come. And of course, there is something in this evening that must draw our attention, that this Israel laying on his deathbed, that he, in the last hour of his life, became honest before God and men. Because in our life he can cover up so much. When we are healthy, when death is far away from us, but when we are laying before the gates of death, then it is a different story. Jacob was made honest in the last hour of his life. And of course, the first one that appeared before him, that was his son Reuben. And the first son in Israel, that was always the highest one in love and in favor. The firstborn, that was always the one that had in Israel the highest place, because there were many privileges were connected with the first birthright. But that Reuben, that was a disappointment, a great disappointment in the life of Jacob. He said, of course, to him, unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because. And then that evil that he had done in his life, that was laid open. Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. That was a black spot in the life of that Reuben. And that was the cause and the reason why that he had lost the blessing of the first birthright. And for Jacob, you can well realize it, it was an awful thing to place that boy in the back. He had hoped in his life that Reuben would be his might and the beginning of his strength and the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. But that Reuben, he had ruined his life. And then there come those other boys, Simeon and Levi. They came together to the bed of their father Jacob. And that was not better than with the first one. Because he said, you are brethren and are instruments of cruelty are in their habitation. O my soul, come not thou into the secret, unto the assembly, mine honor. Be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they digged down a wall. And instead that he blessed those two boys, he cursed their anger, for it was fierce, and the rest, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Then afterwards came the fourth one, and that was Judah. Was that Judah so much better than those other ones? No, because there was also a page in that man's life that was black. You know the history with his daughter-in-law, what had taken place, and his own fault. But now that you did, that was the one out of whom that Christ would be born. But of course, that Judah was what he was, that was only through Christ. There came nothing in between of that Jacob self, of that Judah self, no. Because by virtue of his life, he was also a one that had brought upon him the displeasure of the Lord. But now the Lord, he had looked in mercy and in compassion upon that boy. And then you find there, of course, the different blessings connected with the coming of Christ, the Silo here in this world. Afterwards, then Zebulun came. Zebulun, he would live from the fish that they brought out of the sea. And then Issachar came afterwards, strong as a couching down, as an ass couching down between two burdens. But of course, there was later on of that man not so much to expect. You read that further in the Bible in Judges 5, what the end was of that tribe of Zebulun and of Issachar too. And then finally, then there came another boy, and he was not the son of Leah, and he was also not the son of Rachel, but he was the one that was born out of Bilhah, and Bilhah was a slave of Rachel. And now when Jacob saw that then, oh, then he became afraid. And why? That Jacob came afraid about him? Because then shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. He saw that tribe of then there in the future in all his hypocrisy. His words were nice, but his life was terrible. Nothing else than hypocrisy. And we read that also in the book of Judges, how far that a tribe of them go as head astray from the Lord. It was a tribe that had brought so much poison in the church, because he never came out right, but he was always in his action as a serpent, as an adder under the grass. Never, never trust him. And later on, that tribe of them that would give himself over to the service, serving of idols. Father and father from the Lord. And now, of course, what was now the matter? Because you would say to me, what is now the reason that you that mentioned all in this evening, oh, congregation, I do that for this cause, because that Jacob that became there, the man before the Lord, Who shall give unclean out of an unclean? Because when Jacob was laying on his deathbed, then his whole life that came back to him. And then he saw in his children, he saw all that wretchedness that by nature was in his own heart. Because in Adam, we are condemnable in the sight of the Lord. And now all that was of Jacob, that was all wrong. When it was New Year's Eve for that Jacob, he could bring before the Lord nothing else than his sins, than his iniquities, than his shortcomings, than his corruption, because he had brought all those children in the world. He was the one. And there became now all his guilt and his sin. And now you can realize if we receive back in our life the sins of our children, and we see that as our sins, then it become unbearable for us. And now Jacob, he was privileged when he said, I have waited for thy salvation, because Gad, that was the other one that was following them then. But he said, boy, you have to wait a little, because I have to cry out what there is at the present time in my heart. That was so for that Jacob, he could not go further at that moment, because that sin of those boys and his sins were so unburdened to his soul on his deathbed. All that he realized, he needed the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if the Lord had not applied the blood to his soul, also in the last moment of his life, he never could stand before the Lord. No. Because if we come back to the fall of Adam, people, and it becomes our fault and our fault, oh, then there is no place for us to stand. It is time and again, it is so sad, people, that we are realizing so little about it. Because we must well day and night cry after the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we now has come to ourselves also in this New Year's Eve, for ourselves, for our families, for our children, for our grandchildren, for our old generation, oh Lord, people, what was now our life by day and by night? What can we expect when we die and when we shall stand before that judge? For that King of Kings and for that Lord of Lords, that our children shall lift up their hands towards us, and that they say, you were never a father, and you were never a mother with me. Oh, 'tis all guilt and 'tis all sin. There is not one spot of light, people, if we look back to our life, what we were before the Lord. No. We have grieved the Lord, nothing else than grieved him with our sins and with our iniquities. If the Lord had placed us before us, but now that Jacob, he saw those boys before his eyes, and then he said, oh Lord, I cannot live long. I cannot go further with those other boys. No. But then out of the anguish of his heart, then he burst there out in the last hour, and he said, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Later on, then he go further with those other boys. But of course, then he had freedom and liberty. Why? Because he lost his case
and he loosed his burden in Christ there. And that was the reason that he go further. We go in our life many times further without that, people. Without that. And we need for our soul. And we need for our families, we need a solution. We need the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are realizing that on New Year's Eve, oh, then we shall not go out so far this evening, but then we shall well go in our inner chamber. And then we shall well come on our knees and say, oh Lord, enter not into judgment with thy servant. But oh, that the power and the sweetness of thy precious blood may come as upon us, you read. That Jewish people in the last day of Christ when he was on earth, that he said, his blood come upon us and upon our children. And that is what we now need also in this evening, people. And there is only hope and freedom and liberty and gladness for our soul when our soul find rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what would that now be the important thing for you and me in this evening? If we all look back for ourselves and for our families, what have we done with all the blessings that the Lord has bestowed upon us? We were overloaded in 68. With the benefits of the Lord overloaded in a material, in a natural way. What was now lacking in our life in this year? Did the Lord not give us everything what we need and above all those outwardly blessings, people? That we were not in jail and not came in contact with the police, and that we are not sent to a prison, that also the Lord had spared our boys so far. Not one of our own congregation is taken away in Vietnam. This evening, so many people, I think it is about an 80, well, in Grand Rapids now. And I shall look this evening to empty places of their boys and of their husbands. And if we now think about our congregation, that the Lord had graciously spared us so far without children. Some, they have even not talked this week with them, so far away from one another, but they have not heard the voice of one another. What a wonder, what a wonder. Why? That we are so much better now, but that is only the mercy and the Lord of the Lord bestowed upon us, people. And then his word and his testimony that the Lord had not taken away from us. And I know it is not always so easy to listen to it. No. Because the gospel that is against men. And we can by nature, we cannot bow under it and we cannot accept it. But if the power of the gospel and of the word of God enters into our heart, oh, then it shall be with us. As that we read in the word of God of Jeremiah. He said, when I have found thy word, I have eaten it, and it was sweeter than honey, and an honeycomb for my soul. O congregation, the way of salvation in Christ Jesus, that it is laid open before you time and again. And the Lord had brought you under his word with his children, week after week, what the labors that the Lord had bestowed upon us. And what is, was now our answer? What was now our answer towards it? Oh, shame must cover our face if we think about ourselves. But I have freedom and liberty also in this evening, at the end of 69, to preach Christ and his righteousness and his blood. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. And the Lord, he shall build his church. He shall plant his name from forth from generation to generation. And it must well be to the joy of our heart, but we will sing now together out of 275. This all ages shall record for the glory of the Lord. Thou dost hear the humble prayer for the helpless. Thou dost care, thou eternal art and great, heaven and earth thou didst create, heaven and earth shall pass away, changeless thou shall live for aye. Number 275, the third and the fourth stanza. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. A confession of guilt, but it is also a confession of faith. I have waited for thy salvation, not for his salvation, no. Jacob, he had learned with his children that you are standing outside of us, miles and miles farther than the north is from the south and the east from the west. But I have waited for thy salvation. And what was now the reason that that man could speak so, with so much boldness and with so much freedom and with so much liberty in his soul? Because it has pleased the Lord to reveal that to his soul. Thy salvation. thy salvation found out by the Father, merited by Christ, preached by the gospel, revealed in the heart, and applied with the Holy, by the Holy Spirit, there thy salvation. In paradise there was happiness. Where Adam was living in communion with God. Now we speak no more about happiness in that respect, but now we speak about salvation. Because in paradise there was no need for salvation. In paradise was no sinful creature. In paradise was no wretched creature. But now we became wretched and sinful by our sins. Oh, congregation, I am so well as you, all of you. And our children, in ourselves we are all condemnable, all of us. I have no to explain that more this evening to you, no. You have heard that 187 times in this year, where we have had the privilege to preach for you. It were only 7 Sundays that we have served in other churches, but all those other weeks, we were privileged with such an help that we could preach the word of God to you. And you have heard it every time, more or less, about that salvation that is mentioned here by Jacob, thy salvation. And he said, thy salvation, O Lord. What is now the meaning of that last word, Lord? That refers here to the name of Jehovah. And the name of Jehovah, that means he is and he was. And he shall be forever and forever. It is the past, it is the present, and it is the future. The faithful God and the unchangeable God. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. And now that last word, O Lord. That is as a stamp upon that salvation. Because it was the will of God from all eternity to save people, a number that at the end of the world, all congregations soon that it shall New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve for the world. And New Year's Eve for the church in that respect that it comes to an end. And then it shall be a number that no one can count, so great a number, over the whole world, out of all nations and kindreds and people, saved by grace for Christ's sake, not out of the works of the law. And of course that is now that Savior that saved his people from the sin, from the guilt of sin, from the pollution of sin, from the dominion of sin, and also from the punishment of sin, from original sin, from actual sin, omission and commission of sin, because the blood of Christ that was and are cleansed from all sins, and it is not only the deliverance of our sins, but that salvation that consists also in restoring into the fellowship and communion with God. That the Lord brings his people back. You read about that prodigal son. He came to himself after that he had swandered away everything. But he came to himself, and then he go on the road to go back to his dad. But his father saw him far away, and then he was running to the boy. He kissed him and he brought him home. And then there was a feast. And now the Lord, he brings that people also home. Because by nature we are without God in the world, people. And if that now speaks to us, oh, and then it's an old year evening, oh, then you can realize and we lay on our knees. And then we say, oh Lord, must I enter a new year with all the guilt and with all the sin? And with all the wretchedness, oh Lord, please, please, speak us to my soul. Reveal thyself to my heart. Oh Lord, will you hear the cry of an unworthy sinner? Oh, I have read in thy word, and so the people is talking. And then they say, Lord, that you hear the cry of the young ravens. Oh Lord, will you hear me too? I am not worthy. And I told you last Sunday, if it is only one cry, Lodestein, he said, one living sign that is a fruit of the Holy Spirit in our heart and soul. Thus can I say it now easier to you this evening? Can I come lower for you? No. Oh, I come so deep as I can. And that for the greatest of sins, even when we are black of sin, and have nothing else of sin, but now whiter than snow, and that through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now that Jacob, he said, I have waited for thy salvation. And that means I waiting for Christ. And he had saw that Christ where? Where did he see him for the first time in his life? That was in Genesis 28. When the Lord in that night show him that ladder, where the angels of heaven descended and ascended, and that was Christ. There in that ladder, there is Christ revealed to Jacob. And then what happens 20 years later? Oh, then Christ was applied to his heart. That was on Peniel. Then Christ became his portion with consciousness for his own soul. And then 10 years later in battle, then the Holy Spirit came in his heart. And that was that stamp, that divine stamp upon the work of God, glorified in his heart and in his soul. I have waited for thy salvation. Yeah. But if now that man know Christ, why must he now not wait for Christ? You know? Why was he now waiting for him? Oh, congregation, that Jacob, he had knowledge of Christ and he had seen him, but he had not seen him in his human nature. He had not seen him with his bodily eyes. But now he desired that Christ would come in the world. As the shepherds had seen him laying in that manger. I am waiting for thy salvation. And that now here he got to that den, to that serpent. Because as Jacob saw that serpent with all that poison in the church. All to poison the church and to ruin the church. But now upon this I have waited for thy salvation. All that Christ, as the King of the church, that he may reveal himself, and that he had the overpower and the overhand, and that he shall come to bruise the head of that Satan, and to erect his kingdom, and to rule over the whole world, from the sea to the sea and on the shore, till the end to the end of the world. I have waited for thy salvation. The Lord, he had promised him the coming of Christ in the world. And now he was waiting for that, because in him, only in that Christ, was for Jacob the forgiveness of all his sins. In that Christ was the peace and the rest of his heart. And in that Christ was also the comfort for his soul. When he lay there before the gates of death, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Thus, a confession of guilt and a confession of faith. I shall stop for this evening. I hope the Lord bring you all safely home, and us too. And we hope tomorrow in the morning that the Lord make it so with the roads that we can meet one another again in this house of worship. And that then the Lord may start with us and with our families. We need it. There lay a year behind us, people, also for the country, a year of unrest. And a year that the devil was working in an awful way. This evening I shall not say so much about it, only two things. Tomorrow I have to say something more and else, if the Lord spared us. But if we think about what has happened in our country, first, that Dr. King was killed, and then afterwards that Senator Kennedy, in the power and prime of his life, was murdered by an Arabian boy. And then especially after the death of Dr. Martin King, so many riots in different cities, also here in Grand Rapids. And they have, you know what they have predicted, much more. If it is summer, then you shall see more. But oh, the Lord hath not watched over us and over our city. The Lord hath not taken care that the people not was given over to himself in so far. However, we are living in a time of unrest, and we are not saved even on the street, no, and not saved in our house. When we are leaving our homes, then we have well to say, Lord, when I have the privilege to come home, that I may find it as that I have left it, please. Because there happens so much. Even in our own street where we are living, two houses they broke also in a few weeks ago. Close by, one right over the street, and another on the other side where we are living. And I'm boys 16, 17 years old. An awful time in which we are living, people. But the Lord in his mercy, he had not given in this day, the last day of the year, that he could come together. What shall I render the Lord for all his benefits bestowed upon us? And now finally, congregation, boys and girls, men and women, it behooves us in this evening to confess before the Most High God our sins and our transgressions. To bow in deep humility before him. To cry after Christ and his blood. to wash and cleanse us from all our sins. But oh, what would it be in blessing congregation if in this last hour of 1968 that our eyes were opened for that blessed Christ, for that precious Savior, who was bruised for our sins and who died for our iniquities, and that now that Christ be applied to our hearts, and that we were reconciled with God through him and by his precious blood. Oh, that now become our greatest concern, and no rest for the sole of our feet before that we find rest in God. Congregation, I hope from the bottom of my heart, our work and the work of our consistory, 'tis all imperfect, and it are very, very weak means. Oh, we will confess it. We will confess it from the bottom of our heart. But I hope that 1968 and all the labors in catechizing and in preaching and in talking, oh, that it never shall testify against you, but that it be to an eternal blessing for young and old, great and small. Soon we are standing before the great judge. Oh, that it cannot be a day of terror, but a day of joy and of gladness, and that we may learn here, Lord Jesus, come. Lord Jesus, come. Amen. Lord, bless thy word brought in this evening in the midst of the congregation. Forgive all the shortcomings and all that was amiss. Wash and cleanse us with our families in the blood of the Lamb. Be further with us in this evening, that the fear of the Lord may fill our heart and the heart of our children, and that it may please thee to bind us at thy throne. Oh, Lord, give us not over to ourselves, and that we with all our needs and wants for ourselves, for our children and grandchildren, oh, for the sick and afflicted, that we have a free entrance to thy throne, that we are welcomed by at thy throne, and that we may see one another in the day of tomorrow. Oh, Lord, gladden our heart and make everything well, and hear us for Christ's sake only. Amen. This evening we use as doxology number 245, the first stanza, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all the ages of our race. Before the mountains had their birth, forever thou hast formed the earth. Number 245, the first stanza. The Lord bless thee and keep thee.
The Lord make his face shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee, and give thee peace. Amen.